says, I behold thee as thou art. What happened when Isaiah saw God Almighty for who he was? It just changes a person. And then, I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Are you still finding it out? That's a great thing. I have been saved for nearly, right around 45 years, and I am still finding out God's loving goodness. And it doesn't get old. Sometimes our flesh gets weak. The choir sang the song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And boy, we are prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. And we do love him, but we got this flesh, and this flesh doesn't love him. It's that spirit that loves him and the battle that takes place. Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 7. We preached the first half of this message this morning, and it is a message to my son, and it's from Proverbs, written to my son. It's not just to my son, it's to all of us. But from the Proverbs, from the angle of a father or mother and writing to their child, saying, I want to help you. And these things are given in the Word of God to help us, to guide us, to protect us. And so this morning, we looked at protection from a strange woman, and we saw that marriage and the marriage relationship is given and ordained and created by God. It's a great thing. And then we looked at the fact that when you come to that marriage relationship, you have to listen to the rules that God and your parents have put in place. And those things are in the Bible, and then they're given by your parents to protect and guide you. I do have more printed copies of the commitment to courtship down here on the table if you didn't get one today and you want to get one and want to read that through. But it's specifically for young people that are getting at that age where they're looking at getting married. You want to do things right. There are certain things you can never undo. And we want to do things right, and we desire for all of our young people to come into the marriage relationship pure and holy before God, and this will help you. And again, parents, young people, pick up a copy of that. Parents, fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, talk together about the things that are on there and consider what is there. But today, let's start by reading chapter 7. Of the book of Proverbs, chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And let's pray. We'll look at these scriptures today. Father, we ask that you would help us. God, we know that the entirety of your word is for us. It is to help us and to guide us in our lives. And Father, we need to know the whole of the book. God, I pray, I know this message is specifically designed to protect relationships, to protect that husband-wife relationship, to protect young people as they enter into a relationship looking toward marriage. And God, your word is here for us. And God, we know that our lives will be better off if we learn to follow your word and to live by the book. God, I pray that you would help us tonight, strengthen our hearts, help us to take what's written, help us to be aware, and God, protect us from falling into the sin of immorality. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we mentioned this morning, this is not just for young men. It's for all of us. We all need to be protected from adultery and fornication and pornography and all of those things that go along with that. But the Word of God is here, and I want to start by looking at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and we're picking up tonight. So again, we looked at the things that God has given, the wondrous marriage relationship that he gave. We looked at that this morning, and we looked at the instructions that God gives concerning that, laws, rules, etc., and then the guidance that we're supposed to get from our parents to protect us from falling into sin and immorality. Thirdly, this is the third point we're continuing from this morning, and you'll understand when we get done why I didn't put it all in one message. It had to be split up for your sakes. I could have preached the whole thing, but you would have gotten tired listening to it. So tonight we're looking first at characteristics of the strange woman. Characteristics of the strange woman. Proverbs 2, verse 16 and 17. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So the strange woman, this woman that is willing to participate in immorality or wants to draw you into immorality. And this, again, it can be a woman trying to do it. It can very easily be a man trying to do it. So it fits both directions. But the instruction in the Bible tonight is given from the angle of young man, watch out for the strange woman. And it says this, she forsaketh the guide of her youth. This woman forsakes God and the covenants of God and the rules of God and what God has laid out about marriage and morality and purity. She forsakes that, and she also forsakes her parents' instruction. Young people, as you look for somebody to marry, you want to look and say, does this young lady follow the instruction of her parents? If she will not follow her parents, do you think that she will follow you? Now, men are to be the leaders in their home. And a young lady who is rebellious toward mom and dad, don't think that once you get her and she becomes your wife, that all of a sudden she's going to get this sweet submissive spirit. People don't just change. Now, God can change anybody. But, you know, people don't just change overnight. Well, she's so sweet to me, but look at how she treats mom and dad. Because how she treats mom and dad, and also, ladies, you look at how young men treat their mom and dad, and whether they listen and whether they follow and whether they follow the instructions that God has given in his word, if they're rebellious against God, they're going to be rebellious against you. And so that is a characteristic. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 3. Proverbs 5 and verse 3, it says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So she is seductive in her speech. You want to watch out for someone who is trying to lure you into a relationship with all kinds of flattering words. There are other verses that fit this as well. Proverbs 6:24, says to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Proverbs 7 verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Verse 14 through 21 of Proverbs 7, here's this same lady trying to convince a young man to follow her, and she says, boy, I've had peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. She may even appear to be religious. She may come in and say, boy, I believe the same things that you do. Come along with me. And it says in verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee. Look, this woman was not out there just looking for him. She was out there looking for anybody she could get that night. But she's going to put the focus on you. Oh, you are the greatest one. Oh, boy, if all men were just like you. I don't know how they'd all do it. I'm not a good actor on that part. But I came forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Oh, you're the one for me. And then she goes on and says, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love. Look, it's not love. They're calling it love. This is lust. This is not love. Love would say, we're going to remain pure. This woman is married to another man. This might be the woman at the workplace, that she's married, she's got a husband somewhere else, but she's trying to hit on the man that works with her, or flirt with the man that works with her in the workplace. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. Don't worry. Nobody's going to know. We're not going to get caught. Everything's going to be okay. I came out to see you. Verse 21 says this, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. She put all that focus on him. Now maybe you could look at this young man, maybe he's already a married man. Well, if he's a married man, he shouldn't have been strolling down the street near her corner in the night. For sure. But she comes out to meet him, and it's all about you. And maybe he had a rough day that day, and maybe this is a scenario that could take place in the workplace, and maybe he had a rough day that day. Maybe. Anybody ever have a fight with their wife before they left for work? Yeah. Got somebody raise their hand up big there. But it happens, doesn't it? Then you go to work, and oh, it's all about you. Boy, see, the Bible warns us that there are strange women out there, that these women are not to be followed after, that we're supposed to follow God's instructions, that we're supposed to be protected against these things. So she is seductive in her speech, giving the idea, look, nobody's going to know, nobody has to know, we're not going to get caught. God always knows. Proverbs 5 verse 6, Proverbs chapter 5 verse 6 says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. So here is a woman who is unstable. The Bible tells us to meddle not with them that are given to change. You know, now I understand women have emotions. And women tend to be more emotional than men. That's a standardization, and I know that it's not the case with absolutely every person. We have to allow for emotions. But instability is going to follow all the way through a person's life. And if a person is not stable, they're not going to be stable. If they're not stable before you marry them, they're not going to all of a sudden become stable because they got married to you. It's a warning about that. This is continued over in Proverbs 7, verse 11 and 12. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She has a home. She has a place to be. And she's out on the street corner. Now is she without. Now in the streets. Lieth wait at every corner. This is an unstable person. She's not happy in her own marriage, and so she's out here looking to get something out of somebody else's marriage. She doesn't care who she violates. She doesn't care that she's violating her husband. She is an unstable person. Boy, stability is something that is a great asset in the Word of God. The Bible speaks of steadfastness over and over again. And we want to look for people that are just faithful and stable. I'm glad for a faithful wife. But you know what? She was faithful before we ever got married. She had that characteristic before we ever got married. She showed up at work. When she worked at a daycare, she showed up at work. She showed up at church. She showed up at classes. You just look, is there stability? And if there's not stability, you got to watch out. And again, this can be a woman. It can also be a man. And we want to be cautious about that. Proverbs 5, verse 14 says this, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Do you know what? Just because a person's in church does not mean they're a good person. People can come and they can dress like they're supposed to dress, and they can sing the songs like they're supposed to sing the songs, and they could be evil in their heart. See, God seeth the heart, man looketh on the outward appearance. But you have to, before you get married, get to know that person, you got to get into their heart. Do they have a heart that desires God? Now, some of that will be exposed by how they live, and it'll come out on the outside, because the outside is a reflection of the heart. But you're looking and you're wanting a young person who comes to church not because they have to, but because they love God. Not to do something religious, but because is there in their life a passion for God, a desire for God? And you're looking for that. But the statement is made, I was almost in all evil. Do you know what? People have had adulterous situations in a church. I'm not saying in the building. I'm saying among the congregation of a church. It can happen. And so you have to watch out. Just because a person appears to be religious, just because a person appears to have a love for God, you better check it out. You would do wise to talk to the people that know them best and ask questions. Chapter 6, verse 25. Chapter 6, verse 25. We're looking at characteristics of the strange woman. It says this, lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. They use their beauty and their body to lure men. Boy, young men, you need to watch out if a young lady does not dress right. You know, your body is for, man, your body is for your wife. And the Bible, I don't have time to preach on all the aspects of what the Bible says about nakedness, but, you know, the first thing that God did in the Garden of Eden, after God dealt with their sin and the sacrifice for their sin, the first thing he addressed was their clothing. He put clothes on them. And men and women both shouldn't be running around without clothes and underclothed. But these women, we live in a society that this is abused so badly. How many people participate in pornography? How many women sell their bodies to men? How many men participate in the selling of their nakedness? And so you look at it and you want a modest, lovely young lady who she is for you. She's not showing her legs. She's not showing her body to other people. She's for you. She's saving herself. She is a wrapped package for her husband. She's modest. She's ladylike. And that's absolutely necessary. Proverbs 7 follows up on this, verse 10. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. This woman was dressed to provoke lust. She was dressed to catch the eye of the man. And you've got to watch out for that. Verse 13 says, so she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him. She has no shame. She knew exactly what to do to get that man to cave. And look, women tend to know that. Men need to be on guard. But men, you ought to know, we have to know our own minds, we have to know our own weaknesses as well. Let's turn over, if you would, to Zephaniah chapter 1. I want to look at this passage that talks about strange apparel and see where it comes from. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Says, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chemarims with the priest. So you see that Israel had come into a state of false worship and idolatry. It says in verse 5, and them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Look, you don't get to mix God and idolatry. God is one God and there is none else. And them that are turned back from the Lord, so they've backslidden. And those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. And boy, we ought to be seeking God on a daily basis. We need God every day. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, and he hath bid his guest. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children. Now notice this, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Now, do you notice in the context what led up to God's people being dressed in strange apparel? Worldliness, idolatry, not seeking after God. See, God's people should not follow the ways of the world. So this strange apparel came from the worshipers of false gods. Do we have a society full of worshipers of false gods? We sure do. And you know what? They introduce some of the strangest apparel that you ever see in society. You know, just the idea of the wrong gender. God gave specific identity, right? Male and female. Men ought to dress like men. Women ought to dress like women. If I were to put on a dress, you would look at that and say, that's strange apparel, right? We sure would. And you would be right. That would be strange. You know what? We've gotten so used to it in society, but when a woman wears a pair of breeches, that's strange apparel. That's men's clothing. And you can go to the Bible and look at that and see that. But we're in this society where, you know what? The genders are being completely blurred and mixed. Now we've got men going into girls' locker rooms and people defending them. You want to talk about strange? That's strange. You know, this whole idea of, you know, you look, who thinks up what people wear? This idea of yoga pants. Now, you understand that yoga is a religion, right? It's not just some simple stretches and things. It's a religion. You know, stretching's good for the body. You can stretch. You can be limber. You ought to. Be good for you. But yoga is a religion, and this whole thing of the yoga pants You know, where'd that come from? No woman ought to wear something so tight that everybody can see the form and figure of her body. It's not right. It's not godly. And so we see the difference of a woman who has, God has affected her being. She is saving herself and her modesty for her husband. She's not interested in attracting any other man out there. She's not got her eyelids fluttering toward other men. She belongs to one man. Or if she's not married yet, she's saving herself for that one man. Now, ladies, do your hair. Be pretty. That's great. But don't be seductive and provocative. That's sinful and it's wrong. See, the Bible uses some words in here, but a whore or harlot will use her body for financial gain. This would include prostitution, but it would also include pornography. It would also include the swimsuit edition, advertising, Hollywood, Hollywood movies. Look, they get a job because of what they're willing to do. I actually read an article this week. There was a man that he lost a whole lot of jobs. And he made this statement. He works in Hollywood. Look, I don't know how a Christian can work in Hollywood at all. And I don't know that the man's a Christian. He claims that he believes in God, okay? So, but he took a stand in this way. He made this statement. I thought it was an interesting statement. He said, when I act the bad guy and I shoot people, at the end of the day, I didn't really kill anyone. They all get up, we laugh, we have a good time, and we all go home. But he said, I will not kiss another woman. Because at the end of the day, I have actually committed that act. And he says, I want to go home to my wife, and I love my wife, and my heart is toward my wife. And he says, I cannot do that. And it cost him a lot of work in Hollywood. And people described him as a religious zealot. Look, he's just a guy that looks and says, I don't want to kiss another woman. I have a wife. Man, good for you. And you know, again, I don't know that he should be in anything Hollywood, but he took a stand and believed something on principle. So the difference between someone who gets financial gain for it, and boy, the ungodliness of stuff that is out there, TikTok and YouTube and OnlyFans and all this wicked stuff that goes on, and literally there are people out there making millions of dollars off of people's lust. And while you got hardworking people trying to provide for a family. And it's a wicked thing. Lewd, on the other hand, would be those who participate in the same things, but they're not doing it for financial gain. It's just their own lust. Both are wicked. Both of these things are wicked. You know what? If you're a godly Christian lady, advertise that you're a godly Christian lady. Same with the man. If you're a godly man, advertise that you're a godly man. If you're not lewd, don't portray yourself as such. Boy, mothers, teach your little girls when they're young the principles of modesty and identity. You want to be covered from here to here. And it's Bible. You don't want to reveal nakedness. You want modesty. Modesty. And then identity. A person ought to be able to look from a distance. That's a man. That's a woman. Anymore. Sometimes you just plain don't know. Sometimes you walk by fairly close and says, was that a guy or a girl? God didn't design things to be that way. And so these are the characteristics that we see in the Bible of this woman. She forsakes God and her parents' instructions. She's seductive in her speech. She's unstable. She may come to church. That does not mean she's good. They use their beauty and their body to lure men. And these are the things that we see in the scriptures. What are the end results? This is the last point concerning the protection from the strange woman. The end results, Proverbs 2, we're going to start there. You notice we've done Proverbs 2, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 6, Proverbs 7, and then a few other passages. But Proverbs 2, verse 18 and 19. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold on the paths of life. You know what? Once you go down that route of adultery and immorality, you can never take it back. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives forgiveness of sin, and He can forgive any sin. But you go down that path, you don't ever get your purity back. Jaden, sit up there, bud. Sit up, pay attention. All right, hang in there. Look, you stay with it. Okay, we have, you keep God's paths. Parents, instruct your young people, because it's your job to help them not to go into this path. And we have to do that. Proverbs 5, 9 through 11. Proverbs 5, 9 through 11. Lest thou give thine honor unto others. So her paths are the way of death, and you can't return from them. Lest thou give thine honor unto others. You go down that road, you lose your honor. You know, we had a day in our society where young men were honorable. And they treated young ladies with honor and respect, and they would never want to do anything to dishonor that young lady. They would not want to do anything to compromise her reputation. And their reputation meant something. And so it leads to dishonor. Thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. It's incredible. Again, I mentioned, some of these people are making millions of dollars a year selling lust. And people are taking their hard-earned money and they're giving it to strangers when they've got a family. Thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Often these sins of immorality are connected with disease. And when that disease catches up with you, AIDS, syphilis, others, those diseases catch up with you. And you mourn and you wish, boy, I wish I had listened to God. I wish I had listened to the instruction of my parents. Proverbs 5, verse 20 through 23. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. It puts you into an addicted state. See, the marriage relationship is a blessed, godly thing given by God. A sinful relationship is something altogether different. And once you enter the road of pornography or the road of immorality or fornication or the road of adultery, your flesh will want to go down that route again and again and again and again. So again, this is written, it's a parent talking to their child. Look, you have to avoid these things, because if you don't, you're going to be holden with those sins. You'll be addicted. You'll not be able to break it off. It's going to be difficult. And again, praise God for victory through Jesus Christ. Praise God for a Holy Spirit of God that can help us. And believe me, you can overcome any sin. But boy, sure, a whole lot better not to face this battle. and have to get locked up in that. Proverbs 6, verse 26 through 29, we're looking at the end results of this. 26 through 29, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Poverty. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? What's the answer? No. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Shall not be innocent. Look at verse 32. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. There's just something abhorrently wicked about violating marriage. A wound and dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, and therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Look, you may just end up dead. You commit immorality with the wrong person's wife, there are people out there that will kill you. And you know what? To a level, they're justified. I'm not endorsing that. But you're violating God's marriage plan. You're messing with something you ought not mess with. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22 through 27. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or a fool to the correction of the stocks. It's like that ox going to the slaughter, he doesn't even know what's going on. Doesn't even know what's going on. Just goes headlong into it. The dart, till a dart strike through his liver, as the bird hasteth to a snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. It starts with the heart. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Notice the word decline. You have to take your heart from a high level, and when you start thinking about a woman who's not your wife, and you start thinking about any woman in a wrong way, your heart is declining. It's declining. And you go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We are turned every one to his own way. Again, praise God for salvation. For she hath cast down many wounded. She hath many strong men been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. There have been people, you know, the Bible, 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 5, very clear. People living in fornication are not allowed to be members of a church. Why? Because it's going to promote that kind of behavior. And people need to know that is dead wrong. God is against that. It's wrong. Unfortunately, over years of time, we've lost young people to that sin. That's why we preach the Word of God. That's why we encourage parents. That's why we look and give out. Let's make some commitments in our courtships. Because every one of us have a flesh, and that flesh is dangerously wicked, and Satan's right there to grab a hold of it, and Satan wants to destroy all of us, not just the young men. He wants all of us. Look, we've lost members that were older and married too, because of going into adulterous situations. But boy, we've got to look at the Word of God, because this is our protection. Follow the book. Be warned about these situations. And you know, you follow the Bible, it'll keep you safe. It'll keep you safe. Let me just read a couple verses to finish out. Proverbs 22:14, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. That's a strong statement. You don't want to fall in that pit. Proverbs 23:27, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lies in wait for as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. And last verse, Proverbs 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You have the blessed thing that God created and made versus the thing that God is going to judge. Christian people, we need to be in love with God first and foremost. We need to be in love with His Word. See these chapters, this is not me telling you what to do. This is God's Word that God Almighty put into the Word of God for our protection, for all of our protection. Why did God put it in there? Because He loves us. He did not put it in there because He doesn't want you to have a good time. He put it in there to protect us because He loves us. And parents, you set things in order in your home and you guide your young people to protect them because you love them. Keep them, protect them from immoral situations, protect them from pornography, protect them from all the wickedness that's out there, the wickedness of Hollywood. Protect them. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed is undefiled, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. A whoremonger is simply someone who uses the services of a whore. You pay for that, that you are that. And God says, God will judge it. Look, it's not going to go well if we don't follow the book. This is not a matter of, I'm better than you because I did it this way and you did it this way. This is a matter of, do you love God? Do you want to follow His Word? Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you know Him? Are you experiencing a relationship with Him that when you see this coming, you say, I got to run away from that? Or when you see this coming, you say, I can flirt with that a little bit. I'm not going to go that far. Do you play with the sin? Or do you run from the sin? And when you, if you're playing with it, you need to check your heart relationship with God. Because if we love God, the Bible says, flee youthful lust. The Bible says, flee fornication. So God being our help, you know, if this message can help one young person marry right, it's worth it. If it can keep one man from falling into adultery in the workplace, it's worth it. If it can protect and hold together one family, it's worth it. We need God's Word. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We're going to have an invitation. Father, we have looked at Your Word tonight, and it's Your Word. God, I thank You for the liberty to preach it. God, I pray that You would protect our church family. God, help us to honor You with our lives. God, help us to honor You in our minds. God, help us to be aware of the dangers that are out there. God, I pray that we would think about these sins as You do. And God, not to let the enticements of the world lure us in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the piano to play at this time. If you've got something you want to come and talk to the Lord about and pray to God about, I know that many of our young people were down here praying this morning, just asking God to help them. to maintain purity, walk with you and do right. But all of us, see, we're not immune from this. I used to think that once you hit 40 or 45 or 50, you'd be safe from this immorality. I thought that as a 20-something year old. But I have known many people in their 50s to break apart their home, go after wickedness. Our marriages need to be vibrant and alive. We need to love each other. But ultimately, we need to love God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and Lord, to know that your word is there to help us have the greatest life that you have planned for us. And God, I pray that we would take a hold of that. And God, that we would trust that your ways are right, the ways of the world are wrong. God, help us not to be inclined toward the ways of the world. Help us to be inclined toward you. Help us to seek you all week long and live for you all week long. God, help us to witness to someone this week and tell them about you. God, I pray that we would share the gospel. I pray, Father, that you would help us to live lives that are a good testimony and honorable to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, if you did not get one of these, you're a young person or a parent of a young person, you want to pick up one of these papers. I printed several more because we ran out this morning. But grab a hold of that. Greet our visitors. Get to know them a little bit. Thank you so much for being here, and may God bless your whole week long.